Now, if you have a copy of God's Word with you tonight, I'm going to read some verses from the Old Testament Scriptures. It's 1 Kings, and it's chapter number 10. 1 Kings, chapter 10. And over these weeks, we've been thinking about some characters in the Old Testament, men and women, who came to know the Lord. Old Testament conversions. And it's always lovely to hear somebody give their testimony and tell how they came to know the Lord. And it's wonderful to be able to go into the Word of God, Old Testament and New, and read about outsiders, people who didn't know the Lord, some even outside of Israel, being brought into an experience of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness in their lives. And tonight we're thinking about another woman in Scripture, the Queen of Sheba. Her name is not given. She's just given this lovely title, the Queen of Sheba. And we're going to learn tonight how this dear lady came to know the God of Israel, the God of heaven. 1 Kings is the chapter 10 and verse number 1. 1 Kings 10 and verse number 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train of camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up onto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought forth gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. We know God will bless this reading of his precious and inspired and infallible word. Let's pray together and ask the Spirit of God to open our hearts and open the Scriptures to us. And let's pray that God will really bless us tonight and glorify and exalt his own great name. Let's pray. Father, it's always a wonderful blessing to listen to somebody tell of how they came to know the Lord. And we thank thee, Father, for thy precious word that is full of accounts of men and women and young people as well who came to know the God of heaven, came to know thee. And Lord God, we pray that as we think about this lovely account of the Queen of Sheba, that there might be those that are in this very building and maybe others that are joining us over the World Wide Web listening to this service, that will come to know the Lord. O God, hear and answer prayer. Open hearts tonight. Make thy word to come alive before us. We pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt glorify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be honored and glorified tonight. May Christ have the preeminence. We pray that you'll hide the preacher behind the cross, but at the same time, Lord, for thy glory, grant the infilling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And may everything dovetail together for God's glory and for the good of thy people, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for the salvation of precious souls. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it with humility and with thanksgiving in the great name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon has often been referred to as the Prince of Preachers, and he's very quotable. C.H. Spurgeon once said, "The ark, that is Noah's ark, the ark was a great ark which held all types of creatures. And our Christ is a great refuge and saves all kinds of sinners." The Word of God is full from Genesis right through to the end of the Old Testament Scripture and on into the New Testament Scriptures. The Word of God in its entirety is full of accounts of all sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds with all sorts of needs who came to God as they were and found in Him a Savior, found in Him a friend, found in Him a refuge, found in Him a provider, found in Him a protector, found in Him a satisfier. And they experienced a wonderful change in their lives. Whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, you will read accounts of different people from different backgrounds with different needs and different personalities who entered into newness of life. Whether it's Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector, whether it's the Ethiopian eunuch, or Saul of Tarsus, or somebody like Lydia, or someone like the Philippian jailer, or somebody like the patriarch Abram, or somebody like Ruth, or somebody like Naaman the leper, or somebody like this lady tonight that we're going to consider, the Queen of Sheba. All of them came from different backgrounds. All of them came different directions. All of them came with different needs and different burdens. But they all came to know the true God of heaven. And they all entered into the wonderful experience of conversion. It's no secret tonight what God can do. What He's done for others, He can do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And likewise, in any evangelical, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, you will have different people from different backgrounds, with different personalities and different characteristics, and yet they have come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many tonight in this meeting, dozens tonight, scores of men and women in this meeting that could give their testimony and talk about how they came to know and love the Savior. Some of you were converted in childhood days. You were brought up in a Christian home. You knew the gospel from your earliest days. And as a young child, perhaps, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ quietly. Maybe in your home, maybe at your mother's knee, maybe at the side of your bed, maybe at the end of a Sunday school lesson. You quietly trusted the Lord. And God has kept you ever since. And maybe there are others tonight, and you weren't brought up in a Christian home. You were not brought up under the sound of the gospel. But by and by, somebody witnessed to you, maybe gave you a gospel tract, invited you to a gospel mission, And yes, you too entered into the joy of God's salvation. All types of men and women can find forgiveness, life, satisfaction, and salvation in Jesus Christ. But you know, as we consider tonight the Queen of Sheba, introduced to her in the first verse of 1 Kings chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba, she was a very unlikely convert. She was from outside of Israel. She was a Gentile. She was very, very wealthy. And the Son of God said in the New Testament that it is often easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Queen of Sheba was a Gentile. She was an outsider. She was exceedingly wealthy. She came from the south. And many people believe that that was around about the region of Arabia, what we would maybe call modern-day Yemen. She didn't really want for anything in her life externally, and yet somehow she came to feel this lack in her life, and she learned about a king that was able to answer her difficult questions, and she came to Solomon. And in coming to Solomon, I believe she came to know not only Solomon personally as a friend, but she came to know Solomon's God. Now in the Word of God, Solomon is a lovely picture or type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Solomon was a king. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Solomon's name speaks of peace. The name Solomon means peaceable. You might have heard the word shalom. Greeting to this day in Israel. And it means peace be with you. And Solomon's name means peaceable. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Solomon was known for his wisdom. And the Word of God reminds us that in Jesus Christ is all of the wisdom of God. He knows all things. And Solomon as well was known for his wealth and for his riches. And doesn't the Bible speak tonight about the unsearchable riches of Christ? Solomon as well was approachable. And you can come directly tonight to Jesus Christ in simple childlike faith and enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said concerning himself that a greater than Solomon is here. And the Son of God has promised that even where two or three are met together in his name, he is right there in the midst of his people. And a greater than Solomon is here tonight. And that's the one we really want to present you with. The Son of God himself. King of Kings. Prince of Peace. Altogether wise. And able to impart to you spiritual riches beyond measure. Let's think for a little while tonight about the Queen of Sheba. The conversion of the Queen of Sheba. I think the first thing that we notice about the Queen of Sheba in verse number 1, the 1 Kings chapter 10, is what I'm going to call the genesis or the beginning of her faith. The genesis of faith, it says, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, and listen to the following words, concerning the name of the Lord. I believe that's the beginning of this great experience in her life that would lead her to trust in the God of Israel. Here we have the genesis of her faith. It simply says, when she heard, coming from the south, from that region round about Arabia, she would have been born into a home or a family that was a strange family concerning the things of God. They did not really know the God of Israel. They did not know the God of heaven. They knew little or nothing about the God that created all things by the word of his power. She had been steeped in idolatry and paganism. But in the course of her life, somebody came and told her about a king in Israel whose name was Solomon. And not only about Solomon, but also about Solomon's God, the Lord, concerning the name of the Lord or the name of Jehovah. Somebody told her. Somebody spoke to her. And as she listened, she became interested. She became intrigued. And she began to think about this king in Israel And she began to think about this God, Jehovah, this Lord that she knew very little about. And she began to think. Dr. Colin Peckham of the Faith Mission once said, salvation begins with consideration. And maybe in recent days and months, in your life and in your experience, you have been thinking about the things of God. You maybe don't know all that much. But somebody has spoken to you. And maybe there have been things happening in your life and you've been wondering about that Christian person that you rub shoulders with. And you wonder as well about this God that they serve. And you're beginning to think, and maybe tonight that is the beginning or the genesis of faith in your life tonight. And I'm sure as the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon, she began to wonder. She maybe wondered, could it really be true regarding his wealth? Now, she was wealthy. She was from Arabia, a very prosperous region in those days. Could it be true that there is a king out there who has got more than I have, more wealth than I have? And could it really be true concerning her wealth? Somebody there in Israel who has got something more. I wonder, was she wondering, is there more to life than everything I have accumulated? All of my servants, all of my belongings, all of my respectability, all of the things that I've accumulated in this world, and still this emptiness, this hunger inside, that the world can never satisfy. But there's a king in Israel, and this king is trusting in Jehovah, this strange God that I knew little or nothing about, and she wondered, she recognized perhaps her need for something more. She wondered maybe about his wealth. And then she wondered as well, of course, about his wisdom. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of his God, and she came to prove him with hard questions. Here's a king that has got more than I have. And here's a king that knows more than I know. She learned about the fame of Solomon, and she also learned about the faith of Solomon. Not just his wealth, not just his wisdom, but she heard something about his walk with God concerning the name of the Lord. And this was the thing that maybe captivated her more than anything else as people talked about Solomon. Yes, they talked about his wealth. And yes, they talked about his wisdom. But evidently they had been talking about his walk with God. He had a testimony. You know, in our world we have this idea that a testimony is somebody getting up in a meeting and telling a big long story all about themselves. And that might be part of it. But really a testimony is not what you say about yourself. A testimony is what other people say about you. For example, if you're a professing Christian, amongst your workmates, amongst your school friends, amongst your family, in your community, you will have a testimony. And that is how other people view you. That's the things that other people will say about you, about your character, about your conduct, about your lifestyle. And Solomon evidently had a clear-cut testimony at this time in his life. And people were speaking well of Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. And at last she decided, I'm going to make the long journey from Arabia in the south. I'm going to travel to Israel. I'm going to go to the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to take gifts with me to show that I come in terms of peace. And I want to meet this man, and I want to listen to him, and I want to ask him questions, and I want to hear about his wisdom. I want to see his wealth, but I want to learn a little bit more perhaps about his God. Some of you tonight have heard the gospel for years, but you personally have never come to the King of Kings. And you've never come to Jesus Christ. And then some of you have trusted the Lord. There's no doubt about that at all. And the challenge for you tonight is, are you telling others, people like the Queen of Sheba, who have got needs in their lives and emptiness in their hearts and sin that needs to be forgiven, are you doing what you can to tell others? The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And then he asks the question, or makes the statement rather, "Even so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord." Beloved, tonight if we're Christians, we have got good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. It's about a king who is all wise, peaceable and gracious, and is able to meet men and women at the point of need and lift the burden of heart. And we need to tell people tonight about our Savior. Charles Haddon Spurgeon in his lifetime put out a wonderful book called The Soul Winner. And in that book he makes certain statements. Let me read a few things that Spurgeon said about witnessing to the lost and telling others about the Savior. He asks, makes this statement, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that." And then he also says, "Better indeed for us to die than to live if souls be not saved." Here's a man that's passionate in his spreading of the gospel. He also said the soul winner must first of all be a soul lover. And somebody out there loved the soul of the Queen of Sheba enough to tell her about the Lord and to tell her about Solomon. Spurgeon also said, "If anybody had told me, somebody has left you £20,000, now that was a lot of money in the 19th century, he said, "I should not have given a snap of my fingers for it, compared with the joy that I felt when I was told that God had saved a soul through my ministry." There was a man living in light of eternity. There was a man that delighted in telling others about the lost. Child of God, is that your delight tonight? The Queen of Sheba heard. Do people hear from your lips? And do people see in your life the message of the gospel lived out and told out faithfully? The genesis of her faith. Notice also in verses 1 through to verse number 3 the gravity of her burden. It says at the end of verse 1, she came. That's her response to what she heard. She has heard about Solomon, and she decides, "I'm going to go and see this man, this great king." And she came to prove him with hard questions. Verse number 10 indicates that she gave unto the king all of this gold and all of these great spices and all of these precious stones. Now, she didn't need to do those things, but she was showing to the king that, "I'm sincere in coming. And I'm coming to show you that I come in terms of peace." Now, she didn't need to bring anything. And God doesn't really need anything from any one of us tonight. There's nothing that we can give the Lord to enrich him, because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And the Bible says that he doesn't need anything from man. God is entirely self-sufficient. There's nothing that we can bring to him that will enrich him more, because he's altogether sufficient in and of himself. But it says in verse number 1 that she came to prove him with hard questions. Verse number 2 at the end of the verse says she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Verse number 3 says there was not anything hidden from the king. And you can come tonight with all of your hard questions. And I think tonight, if we are absolutely honest, all of us have got hard questions. We live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is falling. And I'm sure tonight, even as a Christian, but certainly if you're not a Christian, you've got hard questions. If God is out there, why so much pain? Why so much sorrow? Why so much sickness in this world? If God is a God of love, Why are there so many struggles and trials in this world? What about this emptiness inside this heart of mine? These are hard questions. What about how I've been maybe treated in life? Some of you maybe have been facing difficult days and people have made life difficult for you. You've maybe never had joy or peace or contentment in your heart. And tonight there's hard questions, isn't there? And you go to a hospital. Maybe it's the children's ward in the hospital. And you make your way through that ward and you see little boys and little girls and little infants, babes in arms, and some of them tonight are terribly sick. And these are hard, hard questions in this world. No easy answers to some of the questions that we have in our hearts. Maybe tonight you've got hard questions. Maybe they're spiritual questions. What about all of my sin? What about my guilt and my shame? What about this emptiness, this loneliness that's inside? And what about God? Is there really a God at all? And if there is, what does He require of me? What about this despair? These are hard questions. And you know, every single one of us tonight have hard questions. I've got many questions. I would love to be able to sit down and speak to God face to face and get the answers. And there's coming a day whenever the Lord will make it very plain. The hymn writer said, I'll ask the reason and he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And this woman came with all of her hard questions. And we are told as well that she communed with him in verse 2 of all that was in her heart. She just came before the king and she poured out her heart before him. And that's something that the psalmist encourages us to do. Pour out your hearts before Him, all ye people. God is a refuge for us. You know, tonight, whatever your needs are, whatever your burdens are, whatever your hard questions are, whatever your discouragements are, whatever your disappointments are, whatever your despair is tonight, whatever disobedience is in your life, you can just come to the King of Kings. And pour out your heart before Him. Because you know something? There's nothing hidden from Him. He knows it all. It says concerning the king in verse 3, there was not anything hidden from the king. And there's nothing hidden from our God tonight. All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Just tell the Lord all about it. And the best thing maybe for you to do tonight, maybe as a backslider, maybe as a lukewarm Christian, maybe even as a believer that's defeated, or maybe as an unconverted person coming into this meeting, just to get alone with God in some of these rooms around about this church building and do business with God and come to God with your hard questions and just pour out your heart before Him. The genesis of her faith, the weight or the gravity of her burden. Notice verses 4 and 5, the glory of her discovery. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house which he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the abundance of his the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. That means there was no more breath in her. She was breathless. It really means that she was overwhelmed. She was absolutely speechless. She poured out her heart. She asked all these hard questions. And she looked around. And she listened. And all of a sudden she's absolutely speechless. She's breathless. She's overwhelmed. First of all because of what she had heard. She had come to prove Solomon of hard questions, and it says in verse 3, Solomon told her all her questions. He answered all of the questions that she had. Here's a man who has got the answers to all my hard questions. Now Jesus Christ tonight has got all the answers. But oh, there's so much more. Not only does the Son of God tonight have the answers, He is the answer. You say tonight, what is life all about? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can I be reconciled to God? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can I get to heaven? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can my sins be forgiven? Jesus Christ is the answer. What's life all about? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can I be saved from hell? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can I be ready for death? Jesus Christ is the answer. How can I be guided and directed through life and make the right choices and the right decisions? Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. It's not only that He has the answer, but He is the answer. Christ is the answer, the little chorus says, to my every need. Christ is the answer. He is my friend indeed. Problems in life my spirit may assail, but with Christ my Savior I need never feel, for Christ is the answer to my every need. She was overwhelmed by what she heard. She was overwhelmed by what she saw. Verse number 4 says she saw His wisdom and the house that He had built. She saw His wisdom. And she was overwhelmed by it, like the woman at the well in John 4. Do you remember whenever she went back into that city of Samaria and she said to her neighbors that she was so ashamed even to look at before she met the Lord? She said, "Come and see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" He knew me, but at the same time He loved me. And I want you to come and see for yourselves. Don't take my word for it. Come and see for yourself this great man who told me all that I ever did. He knows you tonight. He knows all about your burdens and all about your questions. She saw His wisdom. She saw His wealth. Now, she was wealthy, but here's a man who's more wealthy still, and she'd never seen the like of it before, and she was breathless. Sometimes I wonder, whenever we first open our eyes in eternity, if we're saved and we see the lights of glory, and we hear the praise of heaven, and we're escorted by angels into the very presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I believe tonight we will be absolutely breathless. Even in our glorified state. Overwhelmed. Speechless, as Robert Murray McShane said, when the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders through the ear, loud as many waters noise, sweet as harps, melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know not to learn how much I owe. When I see Thee as Thou art, and love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know not to learn how much I owe. She saw His wisdom. She saw His wealth. Verse number 5, she saw all of His workers, the meat that was on His table, the sitting of His servants, the attendants of His ministers and their apparel, and the cupbearers. And she saw all of these workers who were serving the King. And it's lovely whenever the unconverted consider the things of God, and then they see those who are serving Him and those who are attending Him, and they see those who serve the Lord gladly. Are you serving the Lord tonight? Are you serving the King of Kings tonight? Is there something you could be doing for the Lord, and a watching world looking on would see you as an individual serving the King with a gladness and a joy and a liberty and a freedom in your heart? But you know the most impact that going to Solomon had in her life? It wasn't his workers. It wasn't his wisdom. It wasn't even his wealth. It was his worship. Look again at verse number 5. The last thing before there was no more spirit in her, and His ascent by which He went up into the house of the Lord. Here's the most wealthy man in the face of God's earth. And yet He humbles Himself to go up onto the house of God. And that amazed her. That took her breath away. He's got everything that the world can give, but He recognizes His need for something more, His need for God in His life. And she watched His ascent into the house of God. She stood and she watched this man going into God's house. And she was amazed by His ascent into the house of God, His humility, the way He went into God's house, the reverence, the respect. If you've got a reference Bible, it might say in your margin, a translation, his ascent by which he went up in the house of God, or his burnt offering by which he offered. Here was a man that came by the altar. Here was a man that came by the place of sacrifice. Here was a man that entered into the house of God by virtue of shed blood, and worshipped God, and kneeled and prayed and reverenced the God of heaven. And she was amazed by his ascent up into the house of God, the world's wealthiest man coming into the very presence of God. And that amazed her. That took her breath away. Do your friends and your neighbors and your peers stand back and watch you living out the Christian life? The Lord's Day, God's house, the place of prayer, the Word of God, the Gospel of God, the atonement of Christ upon the cross. And do they see that this humbles you? And it's a different thing coming into God's house. And you live your life in this world, but whenever it comes to the things of God, oh, there's a reverence, there's a respect, and God comes first in your life. God gave to the children of Israel a Sabbath day that the world watching on might see there's an entire nation that gives a day in their week to worship God and to enter into God's house and to put God first and to rest from their legitimate things. Solomon recognized his need for God. Solomon came with reverence and with respect. And the Queen of Sheba saw how he attended the house of God. I think it's an amazing thing. Does a watching world look on and see how we attend God's house? How we come to God's house? If we even bother to come to God's house at all? You might think, well, I don't have much of a testimony in my neighborhood. I don't have much of a testimony maybe in my street. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher. I've got no confidence. But there's something about a family or an individual seen consistently ascending and coming to and from the place of the holy, the house of God, that can have a quiet testimony in your locality. And Solomon had that testimony. And by it spoke to the Queen of Sheba. The genesis of her faith, the gravity of her burden, the glory of her discovery. Notice verses 6 to 9, the gladness of her testimony. It says in verse number 6, she said unto the king, it was a true report that I heard, a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. I heard a true report, a clear presentation of who you really are. And she says it was true. But I didn't really believe it, she says in verse number 7, until I came. I believed not the words until I came. This is an experience now that she's having. Like Job once said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Is your religion tonight authentic? Is your Christianity personal? Is it experiential? Or have you just heard from others who Jesus Christ is? And you've heard from others the gospel, maybe your parents or your spouse or somebody else. But you don't really believe in your heart because you personally have never come for yourself. Whenever the Lord was about to be sent to the cross, he said to Pilate, sayest thou these things of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, are you saying these things because you know that they're true? Or are you just repeating what you've heard from somebody else and you're saying all of the things that the religious crowd are saying? Is your religion first hand or second hand? The Queen of Sheba now is entering into a true experience. And she testified in verse number 7, the half was not told me. I just got a little snippet. I didn't even get the half of it. And now that I've come, I'm getting the whole picture. Now, none of us will ever really recognize or understand the wisdom and the riches and the wealth and the grace and the majesty of our God until we get to glory. Even the mighty Apostle Paul, who had ascended into the third heaven himself, said, now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now we know in part. But then shall we know, even as we are known, we will know with perfect knowledge whenever we see the King face to face. The eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. The half hasn't yet been told. She testified, the half wasn't told me. And then she testified to the happiness of the servants. Verse 8, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom or listen to thy word, they're happy. What a testimony. You know, if Christians mumble and groan and complain and gripe and gossip and always just moan and complain about the state of the land and the state of the church and all the things that are wrong, do you honestly think the world wants to hear that and the world's going to trust in our God? The Queen of Sheba saw Solomon, but she watched his servants, and they had a true joy, a true liberty, a true happiness in their lives. And they're serving the King because they get joy and they get gladness out of it. It's not a legalistic thing at all. They're not just there because they have to be. They're there because they want to be. And they're happy, and they're filled with joy, and they're filled with gladness. And then she also testified of her having found the Lord. Verse number 9. Blessed. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be Jehovah, thy God. And I believe she's recognizing the true God of heaven. She's bringing praise and honor to His name. She's confessing with her lips the Lord. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee. She's testifying to His glory. She's testifying as well to His purpose that He has set you on the throne of Israel. God's purpose is being performed in your life. And I can see now that your God is real. And I want to bless and magnify and honor this God. And she recognizes as well His love, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Your God is a God of love. And He loves His people with an everlasting love. And oh, tonight that you would realize the love of God as never before. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Apostle Paul spoke about the love of God being shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. He prayed that the saints might come to know what is the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God. Now maybe tonight you know that God loves you intellectually. You've heard about it. But have you experienced it? Have you come to the waters and the well of God's salvation and drank deeply of those cool and refreshing streams? Is the love of God real to you tonight? Can you testify to that great text on the wall of the annex across there? The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. The gladness of her testimony, the glory of her discovery, the gravity of her burden, the genesis of her faith. One last thought, and we're finished. Verse number 13. Notice the greatness of her blessing. Now, it took effort for her to travel all the way from Arabia in the south to Jerusalem in the north. It also took great expense, because she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels and many of the royal court and many people to protect her and make sure her journey was safe. And it was expensive, it was costly. And she presented the King with all of these great things, the gold and the stones and the spices that we read about in verse number 10. It was costly, it wasn't easy, but it was certainly worth it. But it says in verse number 13, King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire. All of the longing of her heart, he satisfied it. He gave her all her desire. Whatsoever she asked, if of his royal bounty. She came away, in other words, much more wealthy than she was whenever she left her home in Arabia in the first place. You see, tonight you can never really outgive God. You come to God tonight, you come to Christ, you come to the cross, and you give God all of your sin, and you give God your heart, and you give God your life, as Isaac Watts said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, and you give your life to God tonight, and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will come away with much, much, much more than you could ever give in the first place. There's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, and it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. You come tonight as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will make you spiritually rich. He'll wash your sins away. He'll clothe you in the garments of salvation. He'll put a peace in your heart. He'll give you an assurance of heaven. He'll give you access to the throne of grace and prayer. He will give you grace for every trial. He will presence himself with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And one day he will bring you into heaven itself. And that's what grace is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. The greatness of our blessing. Matthew's Gospel chapter 12 and verse number 42. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the children of Israel in Jerusalem in his day, and he said this, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear of the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, the Lord's teaching us some very important lessons in that verse. He's reminding us that there's a day of judgment coming. He's reminding us as well that there's a day of resurrection coming. The Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South, shall rise up. She'll be resurrected in the judgment. With this generation, the ungodly will be resurrected as well. And they will all stand before the great judgment throne of God. And a generation will be condemned. Why? Because she came from the farthest ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And a greater than Solomon came from heaven to earth to a people that despised and rejected him. They didn't have to go any distance at all to hear of his wealth and his wisdom and his greatness. He came to them, but they did not receive him. A greater than Solomon is here, and you, the Son of God, is coming to you tonight in the gospel. A greater than Solomon. And he's coming right to your heart's door. A greater than Solomon is here. I wonder, will you receive him tonight? Or will you reject him? You maybe didn't have to come all that far to come to this meeting. And you don't have to bring anything with you. And the Lord has come to this world tonight. The Lord is here in this very meeting by His Spirit. A greater than Solomon is here, one that can meet you at the point of need. Will you give Him your life tonight? Will you call upon Him for mercy? Will you enter into God's wonderful experience of salvation and experience this wonderful blessing of being converted? Thank you so much for listening, friends, tonight.